Emily Liddell.
And I'm Kyle Kachanorian.
And you're listening to another episode of The Accessible Stall. What are we going to talk about today, Kyle?
Well, actually, I just have a question for you, Emily.
Yes, sir.
Why is wheelchair synonymous with disability?
I don't know, but there's a lot to unpack here.
I think that's your catchphrase on this show.
What, that there's a lot to unpack here?
Yes. In fact, we should do a supercut of every time you said that.
Oh, that's probably way too much. I think I got that from my time in college, and every time we would read something, a professor would say, there's a lot to unpack here, and then we'd have a philosophical, analytical conversation for an hour and 30 minutes.
I see. Well, it's a very like, leadery thing to say. I just kind of want you to, like, do a thumb point thing that all politicians do, you know, this stuff. You can't, no one can see me, but, you know, the politician, like, hand gesture where they point with their thumb like that. I don't know why they all do that, but
I don't think I've ever noticed this in my life.
Oh, watch former President Obama give a speech.
Oh, I consider that more the Obama gesture than the politician gesture.
Oh, no, it's not even a it's a, like a, you know, power, like a CEO does it too. Like, it's just a thing that powerful people do for some reason.
I mean, I definitely talk with my hands. I'm doing it right now, and you're the only one who can see me, but I don't think I have a power move.
I don't know. You should. Everyone needs a good power move.
Did you know that, and this is super not on topic, but really quick, that apparently if you hold yourself in a powerful stance for a while, it's supposed to change how you feel about yourself. Like, you're supposed to feel more confident. If you stand in, like, some superwoman power pose.
Let's test that. I'm going to talk like this for the next minute, and we're going to see.
I'm going full Beyonce right now.
Yeah, well,
you know. Do you feel more confident about what you're saying?
A little bit, I got to tell you.
It's the posture.
Anyway, I was just wondering, why are wheelchairs synonymous with disability?
So the reason
Can you confidently answer me in that pose?
Okay. Now I just have my hand on my head like a monkey, so I don't feel so confident anymore. Kyle's flexing both his muscles. both his muscles. He only has two muscles.
Yes, I do.
So the reason I said there's a lot to unpack is because I don't think that there's a straightforward answer as to why disability is synonymous with... why wheelchairs are synonymous with disability.
Well, I guess then I should ask you... I assumed you agreed with me.
I do absolutely agree with you. And I would go so far as to say that it's a really big problem, even though some people might consider this to be a nitpicky topic. I think it points to much deeper issues about our mentality as a society, as a whole, about disability. And then on top of that, how representation is perpetuating this particular connection between words that is accurate but doesn't paint a whole picture.
That's a very good point. So I guess, where do you start? I think, because for me, what started this conversation was just being alive for 25 years and being sick of everybody not believing I was disabled, but... You know, if you look around, I get it. Like, I think the last time we tried to do... Well, I know the last time we tried to do this, I kept bringing up the International Symbol of Access, or as it's more commonly known, the wheelchair man, or the handicap symbol, or the accessible symbol. You've all seen it. Looks like a toilet. You know what it is. And how... I don't think it's intentioned to do anything but mark a spot for a disabled person. But between what it depicts and how it depicts it, mixed with the juxtaposition of those spots are generally, you know, fitted to wheelchairs, I don't think it's unreasonable for someone to assume that symbol, although it is all-encompassing for disability, I don't think it's unreasonable for the people who are looking at it to equate the two things in their head. I don't think it should happen, but I completely understand why it does.
It comes down to being recognizable. So I really think that historically, the media has painted a picture of disability equaling being in a wheelchair or using some type of mobility device. And so that is the first thing that pops into people's heads, likely because it's the easiest visual representation of something. So, like, if you're watching a movie or a TV show and there's a disabled character and they want to somehow acknowledge that the character has a disability without actually being like, here is our disabled character, they just stick them in a wheelchair.
Well, that would be bad storytelling anyway. But yeah, no, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. And yeah, I guess particularly when you're looking at someone, there's really no better tell, because even with things like crutches, it could just easily be, oh, they sprain their ankle.
You know what I mean? Well, it depends like, it what kind of crutches.
I understand.
That's a technicality, but...
Yeah, but I mean, like, yes, but unless you're in a hospital, if you're rolling around in a wheelchair, you're probably disabled. Or very old. But those two things don't look alike either, so if you're not very old, then you're probably disabled.
But right? If you're just going for a joyride...
Well, that's what... Well...
I'm kidding.
I'm sure that's happened.
But I think that it's just super easy for people to go to the most graphic, noticeable visual representation they can think of in order to symbolize a much bigger word. Because really... how do you symbolize disability in a word or an image? And it needs to be an image to be universal, because if it's a word, it's not going to be the same in every language.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. That's what I was thinking about, too, is I don't think that there's a better way to do it. I really don't. I think the wheelchair is actually a perfect way to do it. But I think an unintended side effect of it is that it fails to acknowledge that there are other kinds of disability in the world. And, you know, it's actually part of the international standards for public building symbols. So, like, it's right up there with, like, the hospital symbol and the male and female stick figures on bathrooms. So...
But those are so much more universal. And granted, I'm not talking here about representations of gender. I do think gender-neutral bathrooms should be a thing.
But oh, yeah, but that's not to say – that's not nothing to do with the symbols. Gender-neutral bathrooms should just exist everywhere.
A picture of someone who's male-identifying versus female-identifying, you know, that is so much more universal than just the wheelchair.
I understand that, but I mean, you say that and I agree with you, but at the same time, when you really look at those symbols, it's not really a man, and the only reason that the female is recognizable as such is because she's wearing a pointy dress.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I mean, like, and I get it, you have to boil down those symbols also, and I completely understand that, but I imagine that even though those are international standards, they might cause confusion in places where, for example, women don't wear dresses. Like, if there's a cultural piece of clothing that they wear instead of a dress, where a woman here would wear a dress, for example. I don't know. I have no idea.
But no, I think that they are problematic and reductive, but I think that all symbols by nature are reductive because you're trying to represent a whole population with a symbol.
And that's why, like, I genuinely wouldn't say I have a problem with it. Like, I don't feel excluded. I don't feel left out. I just can't help but wonder if there's not a better way to do it, because I think that that's part of why we as a people tend to think that disability equals wheelchairs, or wheelchairs equal disability or some such.
You mentioned the hospital symbol, and that, I'm like pretty sure, is just an H, right?
Yeah.
So then you had me thinking just for a second, well, wouldn't it be great if the symbol for disability was just a letter D, but A, that's completely, like, Anglo-centric, and B, then people are going to start saying, well, I don't call myself disabled. I call myself physically challenged, so I should be represented by a P, you know? Like,
as far as being Anglo-centric, you're right, but I mean, like, most international symbols are with English in mind, because, you know, English is the lingua franca for, like, business and technology, whether we like to admit it or not. So, like, even if your word for H in your native language, or your word for hospital in your native language doesn't start with H, you know, if I got all the way through that sentence, I would have said, if your word for H doesn't start with hospital, then you can still recognize that H means hospital, because it was designed in a place or for a world who speaks English at least a little bit enough to know what that symbol means. But you're still right. So, and as far as the other thing, I mean, that's the other thing, right? Like, there are so many different ways to identify as disabled that if you sort of chopped it up into every discernible way to do it, you'd end up with a semi-infinite amount of terminology. And at what point do you just say, screw this, you know?
Yeah. And then the other problem too is you can take a sticker or a sign with the accessibility icon, stick it anywhere you want, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it's fully accessible to everyone. So sometimes it doesn't even mean that it's fully accessible to a wheelchair user. So really, sometimes it's nothing more than a useless symbol because, and I'm not talking about compliance with the law here, I'm talking about sometimes something is just not going to be accessible to someone because someone's needs do not exactly fit in with the standards of a law. Or alternatively, a place says they're accessible, has the little symbol up, and then you go there and they have zero idea of what accessibility actually means, and it's a complete nightmare.
Yeah. So I guess it really boils down to what good is it anyway? But
it's all we have.
I know. And I realized this after recording our failed episode about this the other night. But
oh yeah, we definitely recorded an entire episode about this, scrapped it, and decided to have the conversation again.
But here, I'm gonna quote Wikipedia. The wheelchair symbol is, quote, international, and therefore not accompanied by Braille in any particular language, and that's because Braille doesn't have a standard. Oh, there is a standard, but not everyone adheres to it. So that means that it would by necessity have to be left out if it were to be adopted by an international standard, which it was. So in essence, the symbol for all disabilities isn't accessible. And if that's not irony, I don't know what is.
Well, yeah, because it's not tactile at all.
Right. No, I don't know. Like, what are you going to do about that? Like, that's sort of adding to why it's dumb.
So
that's why you shouldn't equate disability to one thing.
I've seen a couple of attempts to sort of solve this problem by using the icon with some extra specifics to kind of get to the heart of it. So I know at one point the mayor's office for people with disabilities had started something where they created red, yellow, and green stickers, and they all had the accessible icon on them, and it didn't take off. That's why you've never heard about this. So the red said no, meaning no access. The yellow said low, meaning somewhere in the middle. And then the green said go, meaning like, yes, this is a go. And I thought that was a good start to indicating your level of accessibility, but it first of all requires ownership to admit that you're not fully accessible. Like, are you really gonna stick
what was
a
it
sticker
supposed to be like, what was it gonna be like, food grades, like food, like restaurant
pretty,
grades?
Pretty much, yeah, it was sort of like a rudimentary version of that. And so are you really gonna want to put a sticker on your window that says, well, no, with a handicap symbol on it?
You say that, but if that took off, then maybe you could write it into law, like when the health inspector comes, that you don't have a choice but to hang up your grade in the window somewhere public so people can see.
Right, but then would that become widespread enough so as to be common knowledge that that doesn't mean no disabled people allowed in here, and it literally just means we can't accommodate you?
Yeah, I think if there was a big enough push for it, yeah, I think you could clear that ambiguity very, very easily, to be honest, if such a thing were to be adopted. You could just look that up in the same way that you could look up what the food letter grades mean.
That's true. I mean, to be honest, I very rarely look for food grades.
I do. I don't eat at a place lower than a B. I barely ever eat at a B. I absolutely do that. I do that all the time.
I only do that in, like, Chinatown.
No, I do that. Your restaurant's a B, I don't eat there. Unless I know you're good, and I've eaten there before. Like, before I notice.
But anyway, so I know we're kind of analyzing the symbol in and of itself, but the larger implications are something worth talking about too, and that's what started this whole conversation in the first place, is it's exclusionary. I don't think it's meant to be offensive by a long shot at all.
I don't think it is, really. I just think, well, the reason that I brought it up to you in the first place was because I don't really care that able-bodied people do it, because, I mean, you know, if your only exposure to disability at all is the occasional sick character in a TV show and this wheelchair symbol, of course that's what you're going to think. But I've seen us do it to each other. And that's what really bothers me, because we should know better, you know? We should be better at this, but we're not. We're just as guilty of it as everyone else.
I'm super guilty of it.
Yeah, me too. I'm not saying I'm above it, just because I had the thought. We all
are. But you know how I get in bathrooms.
Oh, boy. Do I ever.
I get so angry when someone is taking up an accessible stall, and just from looking at them, I assume they don't need it. You know, if they brought in a suitcase, or if they were changing their clothes, or if they just wanted a little bit more room, or if every other stall is open and they took the big one for a little extra space, it just makes me so angry. And I have had to start telling myself, whether I believe it or not, that a person wouldn't use it if they didn't need it. I try to give people the benefit of the doubt, but I just really don't think that's the case.
It's not. I don't need it, and I use an accessible stall whenever I can because I like them.
See,
but I'm entitled to it just like you are, even though I genuinely don't need anything to do with them.
So I can't really get up your butt about that, but
I know,
in general,
because I'm disabled too, but there's nothing about an accessible bathroom that does me any good. I can use any one of them just as much as anyone else.
Well, unless you start to fall forward and grab onto the bars and don't fall into the toilet.
No. If I fall forward, I can just lean against the door. They all open inward.
All I know is that it's exhausting for me mentally to try to give people the benefit of the doubt all the time.
Well, I think that raises another question, and maybe this is off topic, and maybe that's okay. But I don't think... This is a problem that we face in the disability community, and I don't doubt that it happens in other social justice, social good, you know, intersections as well, where we tend to uphold the exceptions, because if we think of the exceptions before we're called out on them, because we will be called out on them, that we're somehow more woke or conscious, when in actuality, like, there are, like you just did. I imagine that you're right in assuming that some guy that doesn't look disabled in an accessible stall isn't disabled, even though there are plenty of invisible disabilities that would make him allowed to use that stall. I don't think that consciously considering every exception to every rule that you believe or that I believe or that anyone believes makes you more aware inherently. I don't. In fact, I think to your point, it adds to exhaustion, and what it ends up doing is making you forget about yourself. I don't know.
I'm constantly trying to, it's not being politically correct, but it's it's along the same lines where you're constantly trying to check yourself and catch yourself.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I don't think that's possible to do it all the time. It's one thing to consciously be aware of how you present yourself and how you conduct yourself, but it's quite another to, like, insofar as you can manually think about something, but, like, manually, like, consider every single exception to every single rule, which we do, and it's like, how do you even... It makes you go, well, what about these people until there's no one left, you know?
Yeah.
And I think disability is a unique exception because the what about can be a completely different disability that some need of access doesn't address. But when it comes to something like a bathroom, I wouldn't fault you for assuming incorrectly in that situation.
I actually am thinking about it now, and maybe a better example would be an elevator.
Mm-hmm.
especially for me in Penn Station, fighting people in New York City for an elevator is the bane of my existence. Small elevators, you know, everyone wants to shove themselves in, and people are often very rude and inconsiderate. And so I recognize that elevators are not just for me. If someone has a massive piece of luggage, they're not going to carry it down the stairs. If someone has a baby stroller, they're not going to carry it down the stairs. But I think what gets to me sometimes is I see someone who, and again, this is totally judging a book by its cover, doesn't look like they need the elevator, you know? And so then I go through this mental checklist in my head and I'm like, maybe they have a heart condition. Maybe they have asthma. Maybe they sprain their ankle.
Or maybe they just want to use the elevator. You know, but that's what I'm saying. And I completely agree with you. I don't where it gets me isn't that they use it, although for you, I suppose it's different because you need it and I don't. Where it gets me is that there's the sign that says, please let seniors and people with disabilities board first. And they don't. Like, I know they can read. Don't you say, like, oh,
but
maybe they can't read.
Sometimes I feel a little bit guilty because when it is a senior who's in front of me in a line to an elevator and they let me go first, and then I get into the whole thing where I'm like, no, you go first. And they're like, no, you. And then by the time you have this whole conversation, the door closed and you miss the elevator.
And then you're like angry at them. It's like, no, you go first. You are here first. God damn it. Like, you know.
Yeah. So, but I actually had an experience while I was in DC earlier this week that has literally never happened to me before. I got into an elevator to go up to the street from a metro stop, and a woman ran into the elevator and she looked right at me and she said, I have no reason to be using this elevator. I just want to use it, and you're giving me an excuse to do so. And so, in the interest of not getting into an argument with someone on an elevator for a dumb comment, I was just like, oh yeah, you can keep me company. But in my head, I'm like, so, how am I your excuse? Like, how are you using a stranger in a wheelchair to justify your complete and utter laziness right now?
Because without people like you, there'd be no reason to have them. That's you. That's why.
Elevators did not come into existence for people in wheelchairs.
I know that, but that's probably what her dumbass thought. So, I don't know. It's stupid.
You know what? And then she said that because you know how long it takes to get up on a metro elevator. They are so far underground, you could be on there for half your life. And so then she says something to me, because we're just exchanging pleasantries, about how she had just given a walking tour of DC to a group of fifth and sixth graders. And so then I'm thinking to myself, well, she's an older lady. She gave a walking tour all day. If you don't want to, you know, take the stairs, that makes sense. Fine, whatever. But it was just the fact that she A, felt the need to justify it after making a dumb comment, and B, felt the need to justify it at all.
If she just kept that to herself and started with the walking tour, I'm sure she would have been nothing but a pleasant elevator guest.
How about if you just say nothing? I literally never look at people and go, you don't need that elevator.
Well, people in D.C. talk to other people in elevators. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah,
it's
and so that's strange. Fine with me. I'm perfectly fine exchanging pleasantries in an elevator, wherever, really. And you know, I think maybe once or twice in my life, I have straight up told people to get off the elevator and go take the stairs because I really needed it and it didn't look like anything was quote unquote wrong with them. But usually, no, 99% of the time, I am very aware that I am not the only human being who wants to use the elevator and who needs to use the elevator. So I've come to accept it, but it doesn't make it any less frustrating to me while I'm sitting here trying to justify the other person's reasoning for taking up precious space in the elevator.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're not considering them. I mean, you are, but like your mental faculties that are taking up the, well, it could be this and this and this, it leaves out the much more simpler explanation, which is, you know, traditional American.
The much more simpler.
Yes, the much more simpler. That construction, totally off topic, works in languages like German. That's a totally like okay thing to say, but you're leaving out the much more simple explanation, which is traditional American selfishness, which is, hey, I don't want to take the stairs.
Here are not the stairs. I don't have to. I don't have to walk. Walking sucks, and it does. And I can just not walk, and I'll still get there. It's amazing. I can just press a button, and I'll be down without any physical exertion whatsoever.
Yeah, and again, it all points back to the fact that on the one hand, I'm judging everyone who doesn't look like they have a disability and assuming they don't have a disability, and how much of that has to do with how we've been socialized to think about disability and how much of that is justified.
I think most of it is, but I think that
most of it is what? Which one?
I think that most of it is justified. I think your judgment of people is very often, more often than you might think. I think that you check yourself too much in this regard. I think that, like, for every 100 people that get on the elevator that doesn't look disabled, like, 2 actually are and need it. I really do. I don't think that that number is far off. I really think that most people who use the elevator just want to be lazy. I'd love to be proven wrong, but I don't think I am. However, I also agree with the other thing you said, where you're judging these people, and how much of that is because you equate disability to being in a wheelchair? How much do you equate disability to being in a wheelchair because you use a wheelchair? I mean, I don't think it's the questions like these have real answers, but I think it's important to think about that when people discuss things like access needs or the fabled concept of universal design or, you know, accessibility in general. When you say make something accessible, what you're saying is wide door, ramp, some odd specific degree incline so that it doesn't, that you, so you don't go backwards, and that's all well and good. But when I say it, I don't mean that at all. You know, and it's like you can't convey those two things in one symbol, and yet if both of our access needs are met, they would look completely different, but they would still be marked with the little wheelchair stick.
The same symbol, yeah.
And that's okay. Like I keep saying, I can't stress that enough. Like, I don't know what I would replace it with. So what it is now is fine. So,
you know, maybe fine as it's going to be, basically.
Yeah, no, I really believe that. I don't, because also I happen to believe, and this might make me a little bit of a hypocrite, is that your access needs to someone in a wheelchair, they don't trump mine, but they do, I think, you know, most of the time. I don't think it's unsafe to assume that they require more effort on the part of whatever you're making accessible. Like, you know, it's a lot easier, you know, I guess, to maybe install a banister on your staircase than it is to get rid of the staircase and put in a ramp or an elevator, for example. So I don't think that it's, when it comes to accommodations, that it's the most unreasonable thing to assume that accessibility does mean access, but I also at the same time don't think it's unreasonable
to assume that accessibility does mean access
for wheelchair users. Thank you. I'm slipping today.
But I don't mean to be all correcting you. I just want to make sure because it's a really complicated topic that I think requires.
No. I don't. You can always correct me. I welcome it, but I really, it's, you know, when we do it to each other, it's like, come on, you know.
I only stop you when you're mansplaining.
What's that? I mean, I know what it is, but if I tell you what it is, then...
Then you'll be mansplaining?
I can't say yes, because then that too would be...
This is a trap!
This is a paradox.
I'm completely kidding.
I know.
You actually are making interesting points that are making me consider if the notion that wheelchair is the only disability and disability equals wheelchair has anything to do with the fact that our access barriers are also the most visible.
You say it's a social thing, and I agree that that's true to a point, but I really do think that physical access needs play a big part in it as well.
Because you can clearly see stairs. And granted, so here's where I'm struggling with this thought a little bit. A lot of people don't process stairs when they walk up and down them. And so I've had some instances where...
I'm being serious.
I'm being completely serious.
Okay, keep going, because I have a thing to say about that.
They will actually have to stop and think about... If I say, oh, is your house wheelchair accessible? I've had friends who have to stop and think about how many stairs are leading up to their house. Or if I say, is that restaurant accessible? People will have to stop and think if there were steps leading up to the restaurant. So I find that if accessibility is not in your mentality all the time, then you're not going to realize it. I have friends who I'm close with who spend a lot of time with me where those access barriers have become just as visible in direct proportion to my wheelchair sort of being like a less visible thing. The access barriers become more visible, if that makes sense. So they're more likely to be looking out for where are there a couple of stairs so I can't get into it so that they don't invite me to that place.
I'm biased because I avoid stairs whenever I can too. So I'm very aware of stairs. But do you think that's because they don't subconsciously process stairs, as you said? Or could you say that it's, I'm not arguing. I genuinely don't know. Or could you say that it's because they've never had to think about access needs, period, because they don't need them? Because that happens with me and you occasionally. I'm very oriented to access needs as much as I think anyone is in your life. And I occasionally have to think about things because I don't need them. Rather, it's not because I don't see the stairs. It's not because I don't acknowledge them. It's not because I don't, you know they're there. It's more just because what I'm doing when I think about it is wondering whether or not a barrier makes it, you know, more difficult or completely inaccessible. So like a little bump, I know you can hop over, for example, but a big bump, I know you can't. So it's like, okay, well, where's that? You know?
So maybe I need to be a little more specific. So think about it this way. So if I'm asking someone if a place is accessible, they're like, oh yeah, it's just like a 5 or 6 inch little bump up. And I'm like, 5 or 6 inches is not a little bump.
No, that's a, okay. No, but okay. I see what you're saying now because they don't know that. But then they do, I guess, if they spend more time with you.
And it's not that I have the expectation that they need to know that.
No, of course not.
It's just more that I find myself having to point out access barriers unless it's like, there's a giant staircase. Oh, she can't get up that giant staircase. But I do think still, even so, that our access barriers are the most visible.
I agree.
Even when they're still invisible, they're the most visible, if that makes sense, even though it's a little bit contradictory.
Well, your access needs aren't visible. I hear you, because the actual needs that you need aren't visible, really. You know, so I sort of get it. But there, you know, now that you said that, I'm thinking about times when, like, for example, like, in the city, if, like, the curb cut is just, like not even a half inch, like 1/8 of an inch off the ground, 9 times out of 10, totally fine. But the other time is when there's a teensy little break in the concrete, and that tiny little break that I can't even see would make somebody in a manual wheelchair tip over their front wheels and fall out of it. 100% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't know that, you know? So, but even having seen that happen many times, it's like, that's something that I don't even know how to be conscious of, because such a thing, no matter how hard I try, doesn't affect my life. And it's not that I don't care, it's that that's something that I can't remember as easy as, oh, you know, this is clearly too large for Emily's chair to hop over or under.
It's so interesting how something that you would think would be as simple as a symbol is actually arguably not particularly symbolic at all, and more to the point, is not even remotely close to encompassing what it's trying to convey.
Is it, though? Because it's not the International Symbol of Disability. We did that. It's the International Symbol of Access. So maybe it is.
Well,
I don't know. It's weird.
To be fair,
you're right.
We kind of impose all of our symbolism and concepts surrounding disability onto other countries, or we try to.
So, but I don't understand. What do you mean?
Oh, I'm just saying that even though it's technically not universal, it's universal.
No, it's international. It is technically universal. There's a whole, like, it's
But you were just saying some... Wait. I was responding to what you were just saying.
No, what I was saying was that we're the people, not America, we, like, disabled people, we're equating the symbol to disability. People do that.
Oh, got you. Got you.
That's a problem. But you said that the symbol might not accurately depict what it's supposed to, but I don't know if that's true because it's supposed to be this the international symbol of access, not disability. People do that, and that's the original. That was our topic, but in terms of it denoting access, you can make the case either way because, you know, on the one hand, there's more needs than just wheelchair access to places, but on the other, like we were saying this whole time, that you know, wheelchairs are one of the things that require the most modification to anything. So maybe it's doing its job perfectly and using wheelchair as a shorthand for general accessibility. And the reason that it fails is because there is no such thing as a true universal design that is all-encompassing, and that's not the fault of the symbol. You see how deep this goes, guys? It's crazy.
Ooh,
it's
we are getting down the rabbit hole.
Am I making sense, though?
You're making sense, yeah.
It's hard.
The whole thing, it's ridiculous because you think, oh, it's just a symbol, but no, there are so many implications and things to consider.
Yeah, but even if you take if you're one of those people that take it on face, like, you know, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. You know, if you're one of those people, it's like, okay, so it's a wheelchair, but then what about everyone else? You know, and it's like, it's so weird.
I think this is going to be one of those conversations where even in giving our final takeaways, it's not like we can come to any sort of thorough conclusion.
I don't know. You know, I would say spell it, but like not everyone speaks English, not even here. Like, you know, that's a bad idea. You can't spell the word disability. It's like, and that's not even a word. I don't expect disability to be a word that children understand. So that, you know, it's got to be something that you can depict in an image. And it's
but
like,
that goes back to what I said before about how not everybody uses a specific word to identify. So I mean, granted,
that too. Yeah, that's not
everybody.
Layer.
Not everybody uses a specific symbol to identify either. But if you start adding a word rather than a symbol, I mean, forget it. Like the world's going to implode on itself.
Yeah, so I genuinely don't have a better idea. I will say though, I do like New York's usage of the updated international symbol of access, which was rejected by the ISO standard. So
I like it too. I know a lot of people have mixed feelings about it, but I think it's better than nothing. And it's also making me think that since it's not like we have any sort of perfect solution or answer to this topic, I would be really interested to turn it around on the people who have stuck with us this far into the episode and ask if you can somehow tell us on social media or whatever what you think the accessibility icon should look like to be more encompassing.
Or
maybe somebody has a great idea that we just don't know about.
Or even if you think that it should be. I mean, we do, but you might not. Like, come on, make your case. Like, comment, and subscribe. Or whatever it is you do.
Oh, boy. We just went full YouTube.
And whatever. Hey, man. We need to.
But on that note, I do think we should give some kind of final takeaways, as is tradition.
I think it's a much more complicated issue than can be summed up in one or two sentences. But I think my final takeaway is my problem isn't with the symbol. It's more just... My overarching issue is that I think that we as people with disabilities, and I'm speaking to all of us, not just Emily and myself, we're the ones that really need more than most people, I think, to understand that, you know, disability doesn't always equal wheelchair and vice versa. I understand why people who aren't disabled do it, but I truly don't understand why we do it. We don't have an excuse. So be a little bit more conscious if you can help it.
So,
and if you can, I won't blame you.
My final takeaway is something that I honestly didn't talk about too much throughout the episode, but it's more something that I would like to leave people with. The importance of diversifying your representation of disability in order to help move away from the notion that wheelchair is synonymous to disability. The only way I think we're going to start accomplishing it is if we start reflecting it and seeing it reflected back at us. So in the media, not everyone with a disability needs to be in a hospital-style wheelchair, that ubiquitous hospital-style wheelchair. It's time that we start making disability that we see look more like the disability that actually exists.
How do you convey an invisible disability?
Right. So that's where things get sticky. But I think we still need to see people who have invisible disabilities. You can still see that person. You might not see the disability. We should be seeing those people, though. Whether they disclose or not, I really think we need to start getting to a point where it's enough in our consciousness that we're aware that anyone can have a disability and you just don't see it.
Yeah, but how do you start that fire, you know? That's a weird one when it comes to disability invisibly in the media. I agree with you. Anyway, that's for another episode.
I think I definitely got a little bit into something that is worth talking about more in another episode. But on the whole, what I was trying to say is diversify your representation and stop making it all about wheelchairs. Despite the fact that I use a wheelchair, doesn't mean that that is the only disability. And wheelchairs aren't disabilities either, while we're at it. I don't know why it took me this long to say it, but what?
There's only one disability in life. It's a bad attitude.
Oh, why did you...
You set me up for it.
You're so...
Anyway...
I just want to reach through my computer...
Here, I'll punch myself in the face for it.
Whack you with an ice skate that I took off of Scott Hamilton.
Right. Good night, everybody.
Bye. Thanks for listening. Oh, we just said that at the same time.